It is good to be with you today. I've been studying this message pretty much all week. The Lord has been putting it on my heart. And then I felt as though almost he wanted me to change it a little bit today. But I think that change, or what I thought maybe I was going to share with you, is going to wait a couple weeks. It's not because I just think it's something I need to prepare in my heart and make sure that I'm right in what I'm going to say in regards to some things. So we're going to hold that off for a little bit. And I'm going to go with the message that the Lord gave me. So praise God. So how'd that happen? Now, OSL level 4, you're not going to laugh as much because you heard this. It was in our teaching this week. But when I heard it, I had to find it online, and I just thought, I got to share this. So I'm going to tell you, you might want to take notes, I'm going to show you the best way to clean your toilet. All right? OSL level 4 is already laughing because they get it. How to clean your toilet. Step 1. Put both lids of the toilet up and add 1/8 cup of pet shampoo to the water in the bowl. Step number 2. Pick up the cat and soothe him while you carry him toward the bathroom. Step 3. In one smooth movement, put the cat in the toilet and close both lids. You may need to stand on the lid. Step number 4. The cat will self-agitate and make ample suds. Never mind the noises that come from the toilet. The cat is actually enjoying this. Number 5, flush the toilet 3 or 4 times. This provides a power wash and rinse. Number 6, have someone open the front door of your home. Be sure that there are no people between the bathroom and the front door. Number 7, stand behind the toilet as far as you can and quickly lift both lids. Step 8, the cat will rocket out of the toilet, streak through the bathroom, and run outside where he will dry himself off. Step 9, both the toilet and the cat will be sparkling clean. Sincerely, the dog. And I'm sure that dog would walk outside to that cat if it was my dog, and that dog would say, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? Let's get into our message. How do you bring it back to Jesus? Amen. Because that was not Jesus-centered at all. Jesus died and rose again to give his church power. That's what we've been talking about. That's what our subject has been. Jesus died. When he rose again, he breathed on his disciples. He tells them, be full of the Spirit. And he tells them to go back, hang together in one place. Don't leave yet. You got great stories, but you don't have the power. But he died to give his church power, so he tells them to wait until the fulfillment of the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. So Jesus died and rose again to give the church power. Our theme for the year, as already I've spoken to the OSL students, has been full of the Spirit. And what we're doing is we're talking about, at this stage of this series of messages, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, those gifts of power that Jesus gave to his church. That's what we're talking about. Because he gave gifts to the church. And the first gifts that he gave to the church were the fivefold ministry gifts. We talked about these. We looked at them just quickly. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are the leaders of the church who move in various positions, various giftings in leadership. They speak the word, they teach the word, they minister to the word, or they minister the word, so that the body, the church, so that every one of us can rise up to what God has called us to do and go out into our world and do it. So really, if you want to look at my job is to speak words. My job is to speak the word of God in such a way that it encourages every one of you to rise to the level that God has prepared your life for, the reason why you're on this earth, and go out of this place, as our sign says over the door, if you ever look up, you are now entering the harvest field. Go out into this world and do what God has called you to do. You see, too many times we think that, well, the pastor should do all of that, the teacher should do all of that, this person should do all that. No, these five gifts, now we're not absolved from going out in the world and ministering, and I pray that I do that in everything that I, wherever I'm at, that seems to be people come to me, they know what I do, and they seek words, they seek wisdom, they come to me to seek wisdom. Now listen, if you're coming to me to seek wisdom, the only wisdom I can give you is this, Because other than that, man, this brain is scrambled sometimes. You know, I'm just trying to figure out life myself. You know what I'm saying? But I can tell you what God says about it. I can tell you the principles of your life that you can put into effect from the Word of God that'll make a difference every day of your life if you listen to it. So wisdom, yeah. And those are the things to raise people up so that each one of us can go out into our world, so that each one of us can go to our jobs, so that each one of us can go to our clubs and the things that we do to hang out, and we can evangelize and win people to Jesus. The reason I spoke to so many people this past week, and I don't know who I told this, probably the motorcycle group yesterday. I shared with them that God has us, and you've heard me say this before, but we have some new faces in regards to time, not new today, but new. If you're wondering why you're at the job you're at, if you're wondering, you're patting yourself on the back because of the things you can do or the job that you signed up for, let me tell you this, it's all about God. It's all about God giving you that place, putting you in that place, keeping you in that place, because he wants your light to shine, because he wants people to know about Jesus, because he expects that as he touches your life and as he ministers in your life, that you're going to have the joy and the life and the excitement to go and tell other people. That's really what it's about. So Jesus knew that these ones in the fivefold ministry gifts, the pastors, the evangelists, the apostles, the teachers, and all of those, he understood that quick. I'm working on something else here. Jesus knew that these ones needed help. I need help in doing what I do. There was no way last week that I was going to go outside and run that fall festival by myself, nor did I want to because it wasn't a calling of my life. But the two women who ran it did a very good job. Amen? And that's what it's about. And so he raises up and he manifests through the Holy Spirit, these giftings of the Spirit into the lives of the people who are working with the pastor, who are working with the evangelist, who are working with the teacher and all of those involved in the fivefold, so that there'd be a greater equipping. So I equip you, and then God equips you in a greater way to help me equip you in greater ways and to win our world for Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about. So he shows up in our services. He shows up in our lives. He shows up in the things and the places where we are because he knows that we all need the power, his power, to overcome the things that we're facing, the things that we're going through, and the things in the world around us. And that is what we're studying right now, the spiritual gifts of manifestation. There are 9 of them. They are a sign, all 9 of these are a sign of the manifestation of God's power in our life, and in the life of the church. Paul talks about them, and Paul tells us a little bit how they should be handled over in these verses that we've been spending a few weeks on now, and that's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it is the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works it all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, looked at that one already, through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, looked at that one already, through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he's willed, as he wills. Now, we looked at 5 of these, of the 9 so far. We looked at the word of wisdom. We looked at the word of knowledge. I'm not going to say what they are. You can go back and find them in the messages. We looked at prophecy. We looked at faith. And then last week, we looked at the gift of healing. I will just tell you a little bit about that because it's that fresh from what we studied last week. It's a supernatural healing beyond natural means. And it's also going to lend itself to what I want to speak about today. These are like the miracles that Jesus performed while he was on earth. I think I told you last week that he performed 37 miracles we have written down, but the Bible also speaks about itself and says if there were books that wrote about everything that Jesus had done while he was on the earth, we wouldn't have a place big enough to store it. So, but we have 37 different miracles that Jesus did in his lifetime on this earth in those 3 years that he was in ministry. But also, Jesus made a promise to every believer. He made a promise to his church. And Jesus, here's the promise that he made. I'm going away. Know that I have to leave you. I don't want to. I have to. It will be better that I leave you, because when I leave you, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, he will not just walk with you and talk with you the way that I have, living in the flesh, but he will be a spirit. He will come and live in you, so he will be able to be everywhere that you are, even when we all split up. Isn't it amazing today that if Jesus was still in the flesh and Jesus decided to come to Abundant Living Church on this certain Sunday, Jesus would be with us for an hour and a half, but once we all leave, how many know Jesus would have to pick one of us to go home with? Okay, today, by the magnificent power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus, when we leave this place, goes home with each and every one of us. Tomorrow, Jesus will be at each one of our workplaces, because through the Holy Spirit, he goes with us. You see the benefit? Jesus wasn't lying. It was a benefit for him to go to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but now the Holy Spirit would manifest himself in our lives and in our services. And you know what happens? We will begin to do some of those things that Jesus said we would begin to do, and even greater things than he did. So both faith and healing are known as the power gifts, the two that we studied, faith and healing. They're called power gifts because, as I told you last week, they do something. We have revelation gifts. They speak something. Okay, and so we'll talk about all those. And what I want to do today is, because we're in the power gifts, let's just finish up with the power gifts. There's one more. And let's talk about the third manifestation of the Holy Spirit that can be designated as a power gift. This morning, I want to look at the gift of miracles. Or what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 12, the working of miracles. Okay, we're going to talk about those words in just a minute. Well, Pastor, wouldn't that be healing? You talked about healing last week. You talked about him doing miracles last week. Well, yes, it would include healing, but how many know we see this gift of miracles, working of miracles, in other situations that didn't involve people's lives? It involved things over nature. It involved things that were taking place in the world, things that that God did that just supernaturally happened, and it changed mankind. It changed the world. It changed the situation and the circumstance. I'm not going to go into every one of them, but I was thinking of two. I thought I'd look in the Old Testament. I look in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, Moses and the people have left Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and they look behind them, and they are being chased by... Ron, am I still on screen here? Okay. And they are being chased by Egypt, Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Now, they know that if they catch up to them, that it's not going to go well. And they have children with them. They have they've taken everybody, all their animals and everything. And so Moses, at the words of the Lord, takes his staff and reaches it out over the waters of the Red Sea. Now, I'm not going to get into debate on, well, they say that it was only 4 inches of water that the people at that point. Well, great, because it's even a greater miracle then, because that means God drowned all of the Egyptian army and all their chariots in 4 inches of water. So I'm not going to get into this discussion of, well, we believe this, and I'm just going to tell you this. Here's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. The Bible says Moses held his rod out over the Red Sea. All that night, there was a wind or there was something that arose. I believe it was the breath of God. And the waters come back into, the water stops flowing, comes back into two channels that evidently have to be pretty high and evidently are wide enough that all of these millions of people can walk through with all of their animals, all of their belongings, and everything that they've taken out of Egypt. Okay? That's a miracle. Do you hear what I'm saying? We'll get into it a little more. The New Testament. I love this. Jesus is teaching and preaching and just giving people his words of life. And one day they're out there all day. And everybody's hungry. And Jesus says to his disciples, go to ShopRite and get enough food to feed these people. And they're like, well, didn't you know? It's a recession, Jesus. We couldn't afford enough food to feed 5,000 men plus their women and their children. 15,000, 20,000 people? I don't know. And so Jesus says, what are you worried about? You have enough. What do we have? I don't know, Jesus. We have this young man here. He's got a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Praise over them. And tells them to hand them out. Amen? And guess what? Everybody eats. Praise God. That's a miracle. I don't know about you, but if you come to my house and I order one pizza, and you like to eat 6 pieces of pizza, that only leaves me 2. Right? Because they cut it in 8s. I'm smart enough to know that when food is taken, it just doesn't replenish itself right away, right? Now, teenagers think that, parents, because you know what it was like when you had a teenager in the house. It was just like you went shopping on Monday, and by Tuesday, the cupboards were bare because they just came in and opened. Well, surely it must just, it might, hey, look at, they're back. And they eat every one of them. Where are they now? Mom's got to go shopping again. Dad's got to go shopping. Something has to happen. Miracles. These are miracles. Teenagers are miracles too, trust me. If you remember my definition from last week, here's what I said about a miracle. It is an event which the forces of nature, including the natural powers of man, cannot of themselves produce. It must therefore be referred to a supernatural agency. Now that's a secular definition of a miracle. We know that supernatural agency. This is what, you know, and I get it. I get it because there's all kinds of people, but in recovery programs, you know, they understand that you're not going to recover. And come on, there's enough people here to know what I'm talking about. You're not going to recover unless there's a power in your life. And they talk about the higher power. But the recovery programs who have a greater effect in people's lives are the recovery programs who name the superpower. Amen? God, Jesus. Amen? And they have a better turnaround and a better effect on people's lives because they don't just talk about the supernatural power. They tell you who he is so you can have a relationship with him. Amen. Praise God. And so this is it. It's, we know this supernatural agency because we worshiped him today. And we also get to call him, get this folks, we get to call him our Heavenly Father. Amen. It goes on to say that a miracle is a divine operation that transcends or supersedes what is normally perceived as natural. I love that word supersedes. I use it a lot. Supersedes, supersedes, greater than, just knocks everything else out of the park. I don't know. Supersedes is normally perceived as natural law. Listen, you can't turn water into wine, all right? Now, there's a process, and water, it might be included in making wine. I don't know. I don't make wine. I don't drink wine. But anyway, I don't know the process. But I guarantee you this. You can't just pour water into a cup and pour it out 3 seconds later, and it's wine. I know that doesn't work. How do I know that? It's natural law. It just doesn't work. There has to be fermentation. There has to be other things that take place and all of these other things. But talk to Jesus about it or talk to Mary about it. Do as he says is what she says. And what happens? They pour out the water out of the pitchers into the cups, and they said it was the best wine that they tasted the whole wedding event. And that wedding event went for a very long time. Here's another thing I know about the laws of nature. You can't walk on water unless you can move your feet really, really quickly. But I've tried, and it doesn't work. You can't walk on water. You can't do it unless it's frozen, unless you know where the rocks are, right? It can't be done. Go talk to Peter about that. Because Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And the Bible doesn't say that Peter was moving his feet like Fred Flintstone does. You know what I'm saying? You know, it wasn't like that. Peter walked on the water. Now, when Peter doubted, he started to sink, but Jesus pulled him back up again. So in the case of working of miracles, it is the supernatural suspension of the natural laws. For a second, the Holy Spirit enters into the world of the natural, suspends that law, supersedes that law, goes beyond that law for an intervention of God into either those laws or the ones that those laws are affecting. Does that make sense? Praise God. Let's look at the parting of the Red Sea for a moment. Water is affected by the law and the power of gravity. Water flows downhill. If you need to make water flow up, you have to hook some sort of a pump to it or do something else that pulls that water out where it's at and delivers it where you want it. Maybe you have to carry it in buckets to get it to where it needs to be. But it flows downhill. Water cannot stop flowing and just stand up and form two walls. Can't do that. It's impossible according to the laws of nature. Whether it was a strong wind that blew and pushed it back, or what I believe was the very hand of God, or, you know, I'm not even sure it was the hand of God. I think it was just the breath of God, the words of God, because it was the very words of God that hung you and I in space. Let there be, amen? Let there be and there was. Let there be and there was. Let there be and there was. Let there be light. Let there be earth. Let the earth and the water separate. Let there be the sun and the moon. Let there be the stars. And boom, they go into existence. You want to talk about a big bang? There's your big bang, the voice of God. That's what they heard. the Big Bang, let there be, right? It's the sound of many waters, the Bible says. And they just hang into place. Not only do they hang in place, but they go about their own system as the Lord commanded it to be. No matter how they can explain it, it really can't be explained any other way. Because when you think about even evolution or even the theory of evolution, I mean, come on, it takes more faith to believe that there was a one-celled amoeba somewhere floating in water, and that amoeba looked up one day and saw a fruit tree and said, I'm hungry. And so over a series of times, he begins to sprout legs and begins to sprout hands so he can now walk on land. Now he sprouts lungs and he walks and he goes and picks his fruit and eats it. That takes more faith to me than just believing God said it, and that's all that matters. God said it, let there be, and it was done. Now, I know there's other, you know, I'm being facetious a little bit today, but I really want to make my point. It's God. Miracles are God. Miracles can't be explained. There's no other way but the move of the Holy Spirit in the natural laws of man, superseding those laws and causing something contrary to the laws to happen. And so all I know is this. Don't have to figure it out. I know God performed a miracle, and I know the people walked through these walls of water on dry land all the way to the other side. Let's look at just the feeding of the 5,000 from a natural law. Already spoke about it a little bit. Jesus is teaching. He's saying some wonderful things. Nobody wants to go home, right? They know that he takes care of them. They know that he loves them. He's praying for them. He's doing things. And so he's caught up in this message. And so there's no Walmart. There's no ShopRite. There's no place to go buy food. And how much would that cost anyway? But a little boy was the smartest one in the crowd. You see, his mom had said, Johnny, don't forget your lunch pail. Oh, Mom, I'm not going to need it today. No, you're going to need it. And he grabs it. And he has this little lunch that Mom packed. It's ample for one little boy. It's 5 loaves of bread. Now, loaves of bread aren't the loaves that we buy. They're 5 pieces of pita bread. That's what a loaf is. So don't think, oh, he had like 20 pieces of bread in each one. Well, you try to feed, 5 times 20 would be 100. You try to feed 20,000 people with 20 pieces, with 100 pieces of bread. It's still not going to work. Now, let's be real here. There were 5 pieces of pita bread, and there were 5 probably small fish. And it wasn't like this kid was walking around expecting to feed 5,000 people. In fact, church, it's not even about the food. See, this is where we get mixed up. It's not about the food. It's not even about the miracle. It's about Jesus in here. This is what Jesus can do. This is how Jesus affects our lives. This is how Jesus can take care of us. You see, some of you are at places in your lives now with the cost of things and the way things are going. You're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. Listen, forget that. Trust Jesus. He's able. Tithe, pay your tithes. I'm not saying that because I'm your pastor and I want it to come to this church. I'm just saying pay your tithe, be obedient to what the word says, and I guarantee you, you're going to have what you have need of when it's time to have need of it. You may not have any more, but you'll have enough. That's the way God works. He prays over it. He begins to divide it. Everyone eats. Now they eat plenty. It says everyone ate till they were full. And they collect 12 baskets of leftovers. So 12 people that day went home with an extra blessing. We are all spoiled right now, the men, because we're meeting at Brother Keith's, and Brother Keith has made a commitment to us to, I hope this is okay to say, to feed us for a while. And I'll tell you what, man, we are eating very, very well. And I said to the men, I said, boy, once Brother Keith says he's done, man, we're going to have to get back and figure out how we're going to bring this kind of type of food to the meetings. But every Monday that we meet, I go home with like 12 baskets full of food. It's like it multiplies, Brother Keith. I don't know what the deal is. But thank you very much. The natural laws of life say that as things are used, especially food, there's always less of it. The natural laws of life say you didn't bring enough of something, you will never have enough of something. The natural laws of living would cause this little boy to say, hey, those are mine. I'm not giving them to anybody because I'll go hungry. But the Holy Spirit causes bread and fish to multiply. And not multiply just enough so that people get a little taste. Multiply so that their tummies are full. And 12 people get to go home with a blessing. You see, miracles don't just give enough. They give over enough. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe that we should be fighting and believing and praying for these miracles today. I believe that God is not finished in what he wants to do in the church. So, first point, it is unexplainable. It is unexplainable by nature. There isn't a doctor that can tell you what happened when a miracle takes place. They will try, because there are some doctors that have a God complex. And so they will try. They will take the credit for themselves, but their argument will never stand. Why? Because it is a miracle. There was no way that this could have happened outside the technology we have today, outside the medicines we have today, outside the knowledge of surgeries that we have today. There's no way this can happen. I watched a miracle in my wife's life many years ago. She had a lump in her breast. They knew it was cancer. The doctor already told her it's going to be the worst type of cancer because of the depth that it is and the way it's growing. Every month they would take a picture of this growing in her. And so we just began to pray. We began to intercede. We began to believe. And we got the church praying and believing. And you know. And so one day we had to go for a biopsy. They were going to take a biopsy and figure out what they were going to do. And the doctor didn't think that this would take so long. But it took. I'm outside waiting in the waiting room. It's an hour. It's an hour and a half. And it's almost going on 2 hours. I'm wondering, oh, this is not good. My faith, right? Well, I'm starting to worry. And then King comes out with a smile. The doctor had all the pictures. They knew where this lump was. They went in with a specialist, went in. The specialist was just looking for it in several different ways. And that's why she was in there so long, because they were determined to find it. They could not find it. Everything was normal tissue. Has been till today. And so, listen, it's a miracle. I mean, I know they can take lumps out. I know they can use chemotherapy. I know they can use radiation. I get that. Those are the laws of nature. But this was beyond the law of nature. Amen? Praise God. Today we still talk about that, her and I, because it's a miracle. It's a miracle that took place in our lives. There isn't any scientist. There's no specialist that can explain it away. Science works with what is observed. Science works with what is proven. They write a hypothesis. They do their test, and they come up with the answer to that hypothesis based on continuing over and over and over again experiments to make sure that this is the way it is. And they come up with a science, with a proven science fact. The only thing that can be proven when a miracle takes place is that God showed up. I don't understand. I don't know how this happened. The laws of nature would be totally against it. This can't happen in the world we live in. This is not the way it works. You know what? God did this, and only God could have done it. Now, I'm not just talking about healings. I'm talking about just in other things. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But look at that beginning. To another, the working of miracles. Let's do some word studies here, because this is important. This is the only place in the Bible where you will see this phrase, the workings of miracles. The only place in the Bible. The workings of miracles. When you follow that word, working, back to the Greek, you find the word energema, which is a word that we would get our energy from, and those types of things, actions. Strong's, if you look energema up in the Strong's, you will see it listed as effect. It's an effect. In other places of the New Testament, it is also translated operation. So the working part of miracles is the operation or an effect of something. What is it the operation or effect of? The Holy Spirit. See, these are manifestation gifts. So the Holy Spirit shows up at a defined time, at a defined moment in life, in a defined person's life for a reason, and something happens that is a miracle for others to see the operation and the hand of God in that situation. Does that make sense? The other two words, of miracles, is down to one word in the Greek, dunamis. You've heard this word before. It means specifically miraculous power. When we talk about dunamis, we're talking about the miraculous power of God. And in other places of the New Testament, it is translated ability, abundance, might, power, strength, violence, and mighty, wonderful work. Paul doesn't give any other description of these words in this that we read here. He just says the working of miracles, the operation of the Spirit in doing something that is mighty, something that is violent. Listen, when a disease dies in your body, that's violent, but God does it. Amen? It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's an ability that only God has. It's mighty. So we may not know the full meaning of what Paul was talking about, but if we go to the Greek, if we go to the original language, we know that it is the supernatural ability to serve others. Let's put that in there. It's not about us. It is the supernatural ability to serve others as a channel of God's miracle working power. It is the operation of the Holy Spirit in the world of man to make a difference, to serve them, and to bring a difference and a miraculous power to their lives. So when we have the gift of miracles, the working of miracles active in the church, what is happening? That person who God is moving upon in that miracle is serving, has the power of God upon them to serve the church, to serve others in a way that brings a miracle into their lives. There are no boundaries. There are no limitations. Listen to what I'm saying today. This is where it goes beyond natural law. There are no boundaries. There are no limitations. Everything in natural law has a boundary. Everything in natural law has a limitation. God created it that way. And you can read in the Bible about how God set boundaries up for the things on earth. It says he gave the water a boundary. You shall not pass this. He gave the sun and moon a boundary. This is the orbit that you will take. This is the orbit that you will keep. You will not go out of that orbit. He gives them the time. The sun will shine during the day. The moon will shine at night. He gives them the strict boundaries that he created them for. You can even read in the Bible about the boundaries that he's given to our enemy. I love in Job how the enemy comes to God and he says, hey, how about your buddy Job? Well, God says it first. God says, have you looked at my servant Job and how righteous he is? And Satan says, he's only righteous. He only loves you because you protect him. He's saying, let me affect his life. Why do you have to ask that? Because he set boundaries. God has set boundaries in Satan's life. And so God says, okay, you can touch his life, but you can't take his life. And so he attacks him. A second time he comes before God. And God says, well, how about my servant Job? He's doing pretty well through this, isn't he? Yeah, but that's because you haven't allowed me to really affect his life. Okay, I'll take it back a little bit. You may go ahead and touch his life in a deeper sense, but you cannot take his life. And so he gives him another boundary. He releases the boundaries a little bit. And this is when Job now is really feeling like he's feeling that God has deserted him and his friends come and all of that. But Job still shines in the end. Amen? See, even the enemy has boundaries. And we walk around like, oh, that enemy, he's just doing anything he wants in my life. No, he can't. He can't. There are boundaries that God has set up. There are things that we can pray about, things that we can, in the authority and the precious name of Jesus Christ, tell Satan, no, you have no right to that. And you will not have that. One of those things that I believed for was my children. Amen? I believe that for my children. Now, the Bible says teach a child the way that he should walk, but it will not return void. It doesn't mean it won't be years between that. And I'm still speaking that thing over my son Christian's life because I know that he's going to walk with Jesus. I know that he's going to come back to walk with Jesus. I know that because I raised him in a way. I had him in church every day of his life that he could be in church. And I made sure that he grew up here until the day that he decided, I don't want that any longer. I want to pursue this or I want to pursue that. And don't let me talk about my son Chris as if he's a heathen or something. He still loves God. He's just not where he needs to be. Amen? But it's going to come around because God promises me that. So when these boundaries are broken, it is only the hand of God that can do so. And you know what we have? We have a miracle. Wow, how did that happen? Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You said that the waters have a boundary. So what happens when it floods? What happens when a storm comes and people are devastated and people lose their lives and things like that? Okay, listen to me very carefully. I'm not saying God did that, but I'm going to say that for some reason God repealed that boundary to allow it to happen because I believe God is speaking to it, is trying to get a hold of people on this earth. I believe that God is trying to say, you don't understand the time that you're living in. You don't understand that the return of my son is so very soon that even the churches, some churches are going to be caught unaware in the rapture. I guarantee you, it's happening very soon, folks. This world cannot continue in the way it's going. Well, I've heard that my whole life, Pastor. No, you haven't heard these things. You haven't seen these things. The Bible says that there are demonic forces that have been kept at bay, that the Holy Spirit has kept at bay until the ends of the world. We are starting to see those demonic forces unleashed upon this world. There are things happening that we've never been able to understand before or see before that are happening now. Do you get what I'm saying? Think about it this way. I love this. When that happens, when the miracle happens, God isn't performing a miracle. Listen to this. God is just doing what he normally does. Amen. See, we need to get a hold of this. When a miracle takes place in our lives, when a miracle takes place on this earth, God is just being God. This is what he does every day. The reason why it's a miracle is because we couldn't believe for it. Because we have succumbed and fallen to the reasoning of the ways of this world, of the laws of nature so much that we can't see that that thing can happen. And then God moves like it's an everyday occurrence for him, because it is, and we're amazed. And we're in awe. See, the reason why I shared that is this. Some of you just need to get an idea of who your God really is. That he performs miracles every day. And the only reason why they're miracles is because they happen in a world that has boundaries. God has no boundaries. This will raise your faith to believe for that thing that you need to believe for. This will raise your faith to say, Daddy God, this is what you do every day. This is who you are. This is not hard for you. It's hard for me to believe because I live in a world that's affected by boundaries and natural law. But it's not hard for you because you're not affected by those boundaries and natural law. And so, God, I just command this thing to take place in my life. And I believe that you're going to do it because this is everyday occurrence for you. This is the way you move. These are the things you do. And allow his image, allow who he is to rise up in your heart. So I ask you, are you believing for miracles today? Are you trusting in God for greater things than everyone else in nature says can happen? Because for God, it's just another normal day. I love that. I love that. Let's get to my second point. I got 4 minutes. Not only can nature not explain it, but here's the greatest one. Humans cannot take credit for it. Praise the Lord. That's huge because you know how we are. We leave our mark upon everything. We do. I was here, right? We, you know, chiseled on the tree, write it on the wall, right? Was it the words of the prophets are written on the bathroom wall? I don't even know where I heard that song. It's a song of song. It's an old song. I have no idea. But and don't tell me who it is because I don't want to know. I don't even know how that came about. But you know what I'm saying. We leave our mark everywhere because we have to let people know that we were there. When the working of miracles, when the gift of miracles takes place, there is not any one of us that are going to be able to stand up and say, look what I did. Look what I did. Oh yeah, how'd you do that? Exactly. God did it. Right? And man has to shut their mouths. Listen, I love my doctor. My doctor is a fantastic man. He is just so careful about things, and I see him every 3 months. So I got to have blood work every 3 months. He's just up on everything. And now there's some other tests he wants me to have because he's not happy that my stomach is still where it's at, and the specialist couldn't find anything. So, you know, but that's fine. I love him. He's a great guy. But listen, when a miracle takes place in my life, there's nothing that he's going to be able to tell me how it happened. He may have some medical term to say, oh, well, you know, that's fine. God did it. God showed up. Amen. It is manifested through humans by the Holy Spirit, but it is every bit the Holy Spirit. And let's go back to that definition that we get from the Greek words, a supernatural ability to serve others as a channel of God's miracle working power. Here's the problem in the American church, at least the American church, is the problem is that we are so used to working things out in our lives. Because there always seems to be a way to do so. If you throw enough money at a problem, we can make it go away. If I find somebody else who's a specialist or who knows this, we can make this happen. We look to science. We look to reason. Here's the problem with the Western world, reason. And this leads us to forget to look to God. Why? Because I'm reasoning. We have a system of how we think. We have a system of how we direct our minds to look at a situation. I can prove this today. I don't have the facts, but you could find it online. And I guarantee it's at least double. If we compare the amount of the reports of miracles in America, okay, the country where we rely on reason, with other nations and cultures who are not affected by Western civilization and its reliance on reason, I don't know what the figure would be, but I guarantee, I'm not a betting man, but I guarantee that it would at least be double. That in these places where they can't reason, where they can't think, where they can't fix it, I guarantee that God shows up. And I guarantee that miracles are taking place greater than what we are seeing in America, in the American church. And the reason for that is, hey, I can go to that doctor. I can go to that specialist. I'll pray about it. And I can believe for this, and I can believe for that, and I can reason this, and I can get a book for this, and I can fix that, and I can do that, or I can hire somebody that can do that. Then why do we really need God? You see, when we rely on our reasoning, when we rely on our ability, miracles tend to cease. They don't actually cease, but we aren't looking for them, and we aren't expecting them. And even if we saw one, you know what would probably happen? We would probably just explain it away as something else that was taking place. And that is why the church in our country is sick and anemic and weakened. I think that out of all the gifts that we're looking at, this one is probably the least expected in the church today, the miracles. And yet we need it. We need miracles. People need to be set free from demonic forces. That's a miracle. People need healings in their lives. That's a miracle. People need to see God's power in situations and circumstances that we've not asked for God to show his power, not believed that God could show his power, but when it happens, it'll be a miracle and it'll make a difference in people's lives. We need miracles. People need to see the power of God in their lives. Our young people, listen, church, our young people need to see the power of God in their lives because they're in a world that's trying to reason everything for them, trying to explain everything for them. They're totally wrong in what they're telling them, but everybody believes it because that's where everybody's going. I'm amazed at that. Our young people need to see the power of God in their lives. And that's another reason why I'm believing and praying that it's going to happen in this place so that those few young people that are here that I'm ministering to on Friday nights, they would see something and know that it is God and know that it could not happen any other way. And you know what? It's going to go on Snapchat and it's going to go on Instagram and it's going to go on Facebook and it's going to explode because God did this. They need to know that it is real. They need to know that he still moves. They need to know that he still talks and that there is nothing that will ever be as good as their God. They need to know that. The church is losing the younger generation. Church is losing them. Thank God for the kids downstairs. But what happens to them when they get to be teenagers? I don't see any teenagers here today. That's a problem. It's a problem for the future of the church and it's a problem for the world today. God moved in his church through mere humanity. Philip is led by the Holy Spirit to minister to an Ethiopian. Get this, I love this story. I teach it to everybody for baptism. So if you've been in my water baptism class, you know. And so Philip ministers to this Ethiopian. The Ethiopian says, hey, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip says, you can, as long as you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe that he's the Savior of my life. Philip says, you can be baptized. They get out of the chariot. They go down into the water. Philip baptizes him. You know what happens to Philip? Gone. Beam me up, Scotty. Listen to what I'm saying. Gene Roddenberry had nothing on God. All right? Because we still haven't been able to duplicate that. But Philip disappeared from that moment, and they say that a few seconds later, he's found over in the town of Azotus, where he begins to preach the gospel. How does that happen? It defies natural law. A human being can't go from one place to the other. Philip did. Amen? It's a miracle. We've been trying to accomplish it through science fiction, but I'll tell you what, it can only be accomplished in spirit truth. Amen? The cases of the resurrections that we looked at last week were, again, a perfect picture of this happening at the hands of mere human beings. Paul raising the one up from the dead. Peter raising the other one up from the dead. People just don't come back from the dead. Doesn't happen. God did it, but people saw it happen as the Lord moved through these men's lives. God did it then, church, and he wants to do it today. I want you to know that God is still in the miracle working business. But we need to turn our eyes from the physical realm to the spirit realm. Because when we see a miracle, we see God at work in our world. When we see a miracle, we become aware of his presence in our circumstances and our situations and our locations of life. And we'd stop saying, boy, I wish God was there. Why wasn't God there? Listen, God was there. Expect a miracle. Expect that God's going to show up and do something. We become aware of his presence in our circumstances. It bolsters our faith, especially in a world that downplays everything that the Christians say God is doing. And that's what's happening in our society today. You say, God did that. No, he didn't. No, this can be explained. I mean, you know, just trust me. And they go through the whole thing. I've been there. I've had people tell me. And you know, I walk away, not with my mind changed. It was God. Say what you want. Do what you want. It was God. Amen? Miracles cannot be denied. I remember as a child, I'll close with this. I know I'm over time. I remember as a child sitting in the Assembly of God Church. Missionaries back then, I don't know if it is today in the Assembly of God. Missionaries in the Assembly of God Church back then had to, when they went on furlough, when they came home, they had to raise their money. And so they were knocking on church doors because they had to raise money. They had to take offerings and get their money so they could go back. In the Four Square Church, it's not that way. We take a monthly offering, and our monies go into funds for our missionaries too. And that's why we don't have missionaries banging the door down to come and tell us what's going on. We probably should. Your pastor should probably get a hold of some missionaries and ask them to come. But I remember as a child sitting in church and listening to the missionaries on Sunday night services when they would come. And I would hear stories like this. We were out in the jungle. We were trying to get to the next town to minister. And we ran out of gas. And we didn't have anything in the car. There was no way we were going to get gas. We were trapped. It was a dangerous place to be. But we had a gallon of water. We poured the water into the car after praying over it. And the car ran and got us to the place that we needed to be. Now, laws of nature would say that's impossible. You're going to ruin the motor. You put water. Water can't compress. Water can't, it doesn't work with the engine real well, with a combustion engine. But you see, for this missionary, it's all they had, and they trusted God, and you know what? God got them there. I remember hearing other stories. These are true stories, I'm telling you. These aren't things that are science fiction. I remember another guy saying how his car broke down, and he had to get to a place, and they all just got out and just anointed the car with oil and prayed over it, got back in it, started up, and drove to where they had to go. I've heard of tires pumping up automatically as they prayed over the car, vehicle, to get where they had to go. Why? Because there was no other way it was going to happen. They didn't have the compressors that we have today and those types of things. It wasn't going to happen. I've heard of missionaries going into a place that they didn't know, but they knew they had to minister. And they were able to speak the language to the people that they had never heard before. How is that? Holy Spirit miracle. I remember, my wife could back this up. I might have some of the facts wrong, but I'm almost positive I got the story dead on. Back in Bible college, it was either a pastor who spoke to us and told us about this, or it was the man himself that it happened to. And I don't remember. All I remember is this. He had a dream. And I might have shared this here before. I know I have, because this has always just affected me. This man had a dream. And he goes, in this dream, he's in a foreign land. And he's speaking to, it's thousands of people. The field is just packed with people. And he's speaking. And he's speaking in their language. He doesn't know their language. And so he figures he's speaking in tongues. And he's speaking in tongues, not knowing it's their language. And about 6 months later, I forget what, am I right, baby? About 6 months later, in the mail, now this is going back to the 80s, 70s and 80s, in the mail, he receives a letter with a stamp and a place that he had never been, did not know of. And he opens a letter and says, "Thank you for visiting with us and speaking to us. Your words of wisdom and words of God changed our lives. Our community is different for it." He says, "I was never there." It was in his dream that somehow God translated him to this land, to this, I forget what country. I wished I could tell you, but I forgot it. It's a lot of years ago, folks. Okay, don't have a memory that bad. I just know this affected me. That he had, in a dream or somehow, whether it was translation or something, he had gone to that land, spoken the word of God, changed their lives. They had responded to it, and they write him a letter to tell him, "Thank you for coming." He didn't even know he had gone. Come on, church. This isn't just for 70s and 80s stuff. This is for 2022, 2023, 2024. This is for a world that is falling apart, a world that is decaying at the seams, a world that if Jesus doesn't return very soon is just going to implode. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is for the church today. Why can't this happen today? Why shouldn't it? We need it just as much as they did. Why aren't we praying for it? Why aren't we seeking God's face about it? I think we ought to start. Demons were cast out in miracles. People were fed in miracles. People were set free in miracles. People received life, both physical and spiritual, by miracles. People saw the power of God in miracles. Church, I want that. I want that. I don't want it so I can pat myself on the back and say, "Look what I did," because I'll know it was God. It was nothing I could do about that situation. It was God that showed up in that waiting room for those 2 hours. Listen, when she came out with a smile on her face and told me what happened, I knew who it was. I didn't have to thank any doctor. They didn't even know what was going on. They actually pulled another specialist in because they were sure that they had to get to that thing. I don't want people to ask, "How'd that happen?" I don't want that. I want them to know God did that. Amen.